Let's turn to John chapter 3. John 3, verses 22 through 36. Now, what is it that makes a believer faithful? And really, a better way to ask that is, who makes a believer faithful? Is it going to be something that the sinner has, that they're able to look at their works and boast of what they've done to make and to keep themselves faithful to the Lord? Or is it a work of our God in grace who makes and keeps his people faithful to him, faithful to serve him? Well, what we know according to the scriptures and what our Lord has revealed to us by his Holy Spirit is that we're made faithful by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who makes his people faithful to serve him, and faithful in him, and faithful to his gospel, and to the Lord who saved them. It's the Lord who does that. We know that by his death, we see what he's done for the believer in putting away their sin and making them righteous by his death and justifying them and sanctifying them by his power. And we see what he's worked in us, right? By giving us his Holy Spirit, whereby we know God and rejoice in him and worship our Lord. And in Revelation 1, verse 5, we find there in chapters 2 and 3, really, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who speaks to the church and teaches his church, revealing to them the things that we have need of knowing concerning our God. And in 1:5, we find that it's Jesus Christ who is the faithful witness. Right? He's faithful. He is the faithful servant. He is the faithful witness. He is the faithful one sent of God to make his people what we are by doing for them and what he works in us. That's how we're made faithful to the Lord and to serve him. And in other parts of Revelation, he's called faithful and true. Right? So he's a faithful witness. You may hear him fully, gladly, trusting all that is revealed to us in his word concerning him and what he's accomplished for his people. And our Lord, we call him the faithful witness. We call him faithful and true because he's earned that. He's earned that reputation. He's earned those words concerning him. And we rejoice in him and glorify him in this because of what he's done. Right? Peter writes 2 Peter 1:17 that he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Right? The Father, he pleases the Father well in all things. And the Father tells us to hear him. To hear, "This is my faithful witness whom I've sent. Hear him. He will bless your souls." He's the one who is light and life and refreshing for your souls. Hear him. All right, and so as the faithful, well-pleasing, beloved Son, we know that he accomplished redemption for us. All right, this is what he's done for us. Hebrews 2:17, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Right? And so the Lord, through his word, is teaching his people what Christ has accomplished for us. Religion teaches us what we do to reconcile ourselves to God and to please God and to abate his anger and wrath toward us. Right? And that's what religion is all about, is what you do, either by works or by will. And the scriptures, the Lord is revealing to us what Christ has done for his people freely in grace and in mercy by his sacrifice unto the Father for the sins of his people there on the cross, to make atonement for our sins, that we might be reconciled to God. And then we see what he's worked in us, which is he's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit, whereby we are given an understanding and a knowledge of the things of our God. Right? He makes us to know what we have need of knowing. And he makes us to know our need of him, and that he satisfies the Father well in all things. All right? And thereby, we having the Spirit, which all men do not have, right? All men have not faith, and faith is a fruit of the Spirit. And so we walk by the Spirit of Christ, whereby we know him and rejoice in him and fellowship with him and are made righteous by him, being led in paths of righteousness, all right? So this faithfulness is what we find accomplished in this servant, John the Baptist, right? Our Lord is the one who makes John the Baptist this faithful servant that we have before us here in the labor that the Lord has called him unto. Right? He had a small little window of ministry, and he was faithful in it, not by himself, not because he's so awesome, but because the Lord is awesome. The Lord has done this for him and in him. All right? And that's what we have here. And as the Lord did it in John, that's what he does for every one of you, right? Every one of us. We have what we have because the Lord has given it to us. And we're called to what we're called to because the Lord has called us to this work. And so, John, we see examples of what we're talking about. He's humble so that he exalts Christ. He doesn't exalt himself. He's exalting his Lord, whom he's been sent to minister to the people. All right, and then he's faithful in his association with Christ. He's a friend of Christ. He associates gladly, freely with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not ashamed to be associated with him. And then we find that he dies to self. He's getting less and less. He's decreasing all the while. His friend, his Savior, the bridegroom, the one who receives the bride, he's being exalted. He's increasing before the eyes of the people. All right, so I've titled this The Faithful Servant. The Faithful Servant, okay? So go to verse 22, John 3, verse 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. All right, now just look real quick at John 4, verse 2. John 4, 2, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. His disciples. And so what the Lord is teaching us there, the understanding that we're to receive from these opening verses here, is that our Lord is pleased to dwell in the midst of his people and to execute his will through his people. Right? He uses men and women to fulfill his will in the earth, right? There are some things that he does and takes care of that we don't have any part in. And then there are things that he raises us up and he stirs up our heart. He gives us his Spirit. He calls us to this work through the salvation he's provided for us in Christ and sends us to labor in the field, in and amongst his people. All right. And so when we do that, when you that love the Lord and love his people and minister, right, that have the authority of Christ to minister to one another, right, to love one another, to love your neighbors as yourself, and to minister the gospel to them and just to be a help and a kind friend and have fellowship with them, it's by the Lord's authority, and it's as though Christ himself were doing it. And that's what he's showing us. He didn't have to baptize the people himself. His disciples baptized those people, just as John baptized believers, all right? And so Luke 10:16 says, he that heareth you, heareth me. And this is our Lord speaking. He that hears what you're saying, they hear me. And it says, he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. All right? So when we're doing the work of the Lord, it's as though the Lord's doing it, Right? He's doing that work. And that should be a humbling thought for any of us who do anything in the name of the Lord. And then again, he says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God to beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Right? We're ambassadors for Christ. We carry, when we're made to confess him before men, we're a testimony of him, right? And that's another humbling thing. That should be a humbling thing to us and make us mindful of that. So when I ask who makes a man faithful, we speak with understanding. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Apart from him, I'm nothing. I'm not faithful. I can't do this work. Apart from him, it's the Lord who makes a man or a woman faithful in the Lord, okay? And so you that have things to do, you that have a heart to minister and to labor, do it. Do it mightily as unto the Lord. Do it rejoicing and with gladness. Do it with cheerfulness and with diligence, because the Lord's given it to you to do, and he's put it in your heart to do that labor. Right? Listen to 1 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9. Right? Paul says, speaking of the Lord, "Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." God is faithful. God is faithful. If he's called you, he's faithful, and he shall continue the work that he's begun in you until that day when Christ returns. And if we're around to see that day when Christ returns, we'll be very thankful that he is faithful to us. Right? In Thessalonians, the people were troubled because they thought the day of the Lord was at hand. That tells me that it's going to be difficult, trying days, even for believers. Right? Even for believers. So you that are resting in the Lord, you'll be thankful. You're thankful now, and you'll be thankful that you're his. All right? So God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. All right? And so therefore, we're made. This faithfulness that we have in serving the Lord, in being gathered together, in fellowshipping, and encouraging one another, and praying for one another, and speaking kindly to one another, all these things, we do this because of what Christ has done for us and what he's worked in us. And so we're mindful of his work, and we rejoice because it means that God has brought us into this fellowship with himself. Right? We are made partakers of the body of Jesus Christ, by whom we serve and minister to one another. All right, now, in John 3, 23 and 24, John also was baptizing in Enon, near to Salem, or to Jerusalem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Now, just since we're coming across it, let me just say, notice that they were baptizing in a particular place because there was much water there, right? And that indicates to us that this word baptism, which has been transliterated in the King James here, that it actually has meaning. It actually signifies or means to dip or to immerse, right? And so if you intended to baptize somebody, you looked for much water, because if you only were going to sprinkle or pour water, then you wouldn't need much water, right? But we are to go down into that water. And I believe what the scriptures teach us is that it's a type, it's a picture, it's our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ, who died. And we're told in the scriptures that when he died, we were in him. We died in him. When he died unto the law, we died unto the law. When he died under the wrath of God, we died under the wrath of God. He did all that work for us. And in Romans 6, verse 4, it says, "Therefore we are buried with him in baptism." Right? We're immersed in that grave. When you die and go into the grave, you go completely into that grave. And we're buried with him by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So that watery baptism that we go into, we're immersed in that watery grave, and just like Christ was buried in the grave, and when he rose, that's a picture that we rose in him. And so when we come up out of that water, we're raised again unto newness of life in Christ. It's a picture, right? It's what we're testifying, we're confessing. I died with Christ, and I was buried with Christ, and I'm raised again. And he shall return for me and resurrect my body one day when he's pleased to come again. All right? And so that immersion by baptism, it's a faithful work, right? It's a faithful work of he that administers that baptism, and it's a faithful work of you that are baptized, right? According to the work and the will of the Lord, you that receive the testimony of God, right? Now, next we see John the Baptist. He's tempted. He's tempted. I mean, you wouldn't know that he's tempted, but I mean, he's blessed of the Lord. But they come tempting him to try and create a division between John and the Lord. So verse 25 and 26. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. Right? And so these are those Jews that were sent earlier to John to ask him, what are you doing? Who gave you this authority to do these things? And now they're coming about purification. And John the Apostle John has been pointing this out several times so far in his book. We're only in the third chapter, and he said, you know, there was water pots of stone set there according to the purification of the Jews. And then he speaks of the Passover of the Jews. And now here they are arguing about purification. All right, and so they came unto John, verse 26, and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. Right? And so these are the Jews that have rejected the testimony of God, but now they're acting like they care. And they, really, they're just carrying gossip, right? They're just carrying some news like, oh, by the way, you know, the one whom you bore witness to, he's surpassing you. He's actually, you were the first one. And now he's taking what you were doing, this baptism, and he's getting more people than you. You're going to let that, is that right? Should the second one be greater than the first? Right? And so they're stirring up, you know, jealousy and contention among the brethren. Right? They're trying to find, you know, putting in the thin edge of the wedge, you know, to get in there and separate those brethren on that little thing there. And Paul, you know, would say, you know, when he was speaking about forgiveness of a brother there in the church, he said, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We know how he operates, right? He finds any little thing to just get in there and just break up the unity and the harmony and the love that the brethren had. And so that's 2 Corinthians 2:11. We're not ignorant of his devices. We know how he works. And so we guard against it. We don't want to become victims of his, you know, pernicious evil ways, all right? And so a carnal-minded person, right, someone that's walking in the flesh, and we all carry this flesh about with us, right, it would affect them, right? It would be hard for them to hear, but we see the grace of God shining forth in John. He's bearing the testimony that God has been gracious to him. Now, he doesn't fall for what they're trying to do in separating him from Christ or having something that they could take to the people and say, see, these two don't even agree with each other. They're fighting now. That's not the Messiah there. But John 3:27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Right, and so he's saying there, who is it that makes a man a brother or sister in Christ? Who makes them faithful? It's the Lord. We're not going to have anything to boast in. The Lord's gonna do this work in them, and he's going to receive all the glory and the praise. So that he gives a very gracious response. What I have by the hand of the Lord, and that's a good thing to remember. You know, most of you have your own businesses, so you are the top person generally in your businesses. But, you know, when I was at work, in business, there were people below me and people above me, you know, and I advanced certain things. I had times where I was recognized and I received accolades and did well and you know, in work. And then there were times where other people after me, who came in after me, younger than me, they advanced and advanced beyond me, right? But that's just, I have no one to blame but myself. You know, when I look at it from a human perspective, it's me. It was my faults and my weaknesses and my shortcomings. Had I been, you know, better in certain areas, I would have advanced in those things. But it was all according to the Lord. And the Lord makes you, you know, thankful for what you do have. And I can see now I'm thankful for my shortcomings because I'm glad I didn't advance and become, you know, VP or something like that in the company. That's good. It was a blessing to me because it probably would have been harder to leave such a thing. But the Lord was in that work. And what we see, what John's saying is you can receive nothing except the Lord give it to you, right? Each of you has what you have because the Lord has given it to you. And be thankful. Don't, you know, if someone's better than you at a certain skill, great, let them have it. You know, that's wonderful. Approve of it and be glad for them. And don't let that envy and jealousy eat you up. And so John here, he gives all the glory to God. And he understood the ministry that he has. It's ordained of the Lord. He just wanted to be faithful in what the Lord had put into his hand. And it didn't matter if it was greater or smaller. He was happy in what the Lord had done. And so John here, he contents himself with God's will, and that's because he's just being faithful with the Lord has given him. And that's really, you know, when you are faithful with what's been given to you, oftentimes more will be given to you when you're just faithful with the little that you do have. All right, now in verse 28, John says to them, "Ye yourselves bear me witness. You were here when I said that I'm not the Christ, but I'm sent before him." Right? They were trying to get in there that you're the predecessor. You're the first one. You should be the greatest. And this man should be your follower. And he's saying, "No, I told you I'm not the Christ. That's the Christ. I'm just sent to do my part, and I just had this little time here where I'm supposed to minister and do what the Lord sent me to do." And Peter, I think, gives us a good word on that. He says, "Likewise," this is 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6. He said, "Likewise, ye younger," right? And Christ is the elder to any one of us. He's the creator. He supersedes us all, including John. And he says, "Submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility." Right? When you're humble, it's hard to to be offended and to get upset or to feel like your rights are being trampled upon. Right? "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." And John's a great example of that. He's a humble man, not seeking anything for himself. He's just looking to do what the Lord has sent him to do. And here the Lord in the scriptures is holding him up to us all as a faithful servant, one who is faithful in what the Lord has sent him to do. And we're saying, look at the grace of God shining forth in this humble man who had just a tiny little ministry and was here just for a short time. And then he was gone. And yet we're thankful for what John was called to do and what he did. And so here we are marveling at the humility of John and just amazed that the Lord blessed him and gave him such grace in handling himself and what he had to do. All right. And then we see this happy place that John takes as a helper and a friend to the Lord. So look at verse 29. "He that hath the bride," this is John the Baptist speaking, "he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom," that's me, the friend, he says, "which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." And John's actually turning it on them and saying, "You're bringing me great news. I'm so focused on what I'm doing here, I don't even know that I have this small little group compared to those that are coming to the Lord. But thanks for letting me know, because I'm happy. I'm thankful to know that his voice is increasing. His voice is getting louder and louder among the people. He's being exalted among the people, and I'm decreasing. I'm becoming less and less, all right? And so this is what the Lord is showing us. And the Lord is performing his gracious work there in and among his people, all right? And so for the servant of the Lord, it's good for us to see that the servant of the Lord is interested in exalting Christ. And as Moses lifted up the serpent on the pole, so that all who looked to that serpent, when they looked, they lived from the poison that infected them. That's what we do, right? Every one of us who is a friend of Christ, anyone who identifies with Christ as his friend and willing to associate with Christ, it's not about us, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Whatever voice you have, whatever ministry you have, whatever opportunity, small or great as it may be, just be faithful to Christ and exalt him. Speak of what he's accomplished. Speak of who he is, and he'll draw all men unto himself, right? He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. That's John 12, I think 32, all right? And so that's what we're to do, exalt him. Right? And I know when we open our mouth about Christ, you'll be persecuted. but be a friend of Christ. Be willing to associate with him. And the Lord will bless it. The Lord will bless that work as he's called you to that work. All right? Now, this is exactly what John does. This is what he means when he says in verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. All right? It's good news to me that you're seeing more and more of Christ and less of me, right? Because that's what has to happen. And as our eyes are fixed upon him, and as we identify with him and bear the fruits of his grace, that's what people are going to see, is more of Christ, more of Christ. And I mean, your brethren will rejoice in the gifts that the Lord's given you, right? They rejoice, but you know what's in your heart, and you're always confessing to the Lord, have mercy on me. If they only knew what was in my heart, Lord, they wouldn't want to talk to me. But the Lord is gracious to us and kind. And his testimony shines forth for his people to see. All right? So another thing we see there is that the more we ourselves look to Christ, the less we fixate on ourselves, the less we look to at what we're doing, and lest we fixate on the things of the world, right? Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so the Lord, when we're looking at what we do in building our kingdom, right, it's very easy to stumble and to get offended and to make things about us. But when our eyes are looking to the Lord and fixed on him, we don't trip over the things of this world the way we did when walking in the flesh. And it doesn't get us as upset as it used to, and it gets less and less. The more we behold the face of Christ, the more we shine forth that same image, looking to him and trusting him, all right? And so as we look to him, he's transforming our desires more and more, and we see that in John, who wasn't worried about himself, didn't care that his ministry was shrinking. He was actually thankful to know that the Lord was blessing his work and people were being gathered unto him, all right? And so he says in John 3:31, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Right? And so, again, we know religion. What does religion do? Religion spends a lot of time telling you, I'll show you how you are to live. Right? That's what religion does. I'll teach you how to be moral. I'll teach you how to do the right things, go to the right places. avoid the bad things, and I'll teach you these things. And here, just slip your head here under this law, this little yoke here, and I'll help you bear it. I'll tell you how to bear it. I'm not going to lift a finger to help you bear it, but I'll tell you what to do. And if you do it, that'll be your righteousness, right? And what John is saying is, that's earthly. That's how men of the earth speak, because that's all that they know, is I've got to do this, my will has to be that, I've got to cut this out, I've got to add this in, and this is how I please God and walk before the Lord, because those are earthly things, and that's all the earthly carnal person knows and understands, right? But they don't see their own heart, that out of the heart proceed all manner of wickedness, right? If we're dwelling in the flesh, this is what we ourselves will do, all right? And so Christ, he's different from the earthly teachers. He's from heaven, and he speaks of heavenly things, right? He sets our hearts looking to him, trusting the one whom God has sent, believing him. And what he does is he reveals the spiritual nature of salvation, right? Everything that we're seeing here, when Christ is driving out the money changers and he's driving out those people that sold doves and oxen and sheep, he's showing the sham of religion, and when he's speaking to Nicodemus, he's really revealing to him, you must be born again, which is a spiritual work that you can't do for yourself. God must do this work for you. He's got to give you spiritual life. And so this is what Christ is revealing to us, that by nature, in Adam, what I am by nature is not set. I can't save myself. I don't have the wherewithal in me to do that which is righteous and pleasing to the Lord. But Christ is able. He's God. And God alone can do that which is spiritual and give spiritual life to his people. And so Christ is the one that we want exalted in our hearts and in our minds, because it's him that gives us spiritual life. It's him that instructs us of spiritual things. All right? And so Christ is called the faithful and true witness, and so he testifies, John testifies of this truth. Now, John 3:32, and what he hath seen and heard, he testifieth. Right? John's saying, look to Christ, because Christ is the one telling you what is true and what we need to hear. All right? And it says, no man receiveth his testimony. John 3:32, right? No man receiveth his testimony. So there again, the truth, the universal truth, is that every one of us is a sinner. None of us can save ourselves. None of us can turn that around, right? We can't change what we are by nature, because all we are is of the earth and of the flesh. We need the Savior, who alone comes from heaven and speaks of heavenly things and imparts his spirit to us, whereby we see and know it's not me, it's of the Lord. And he does this work, this spiritual work, in giving me life in himself. But the problem is, apart from that, left to myself, no man receives his testimony. All right? No man receives his testimony. But then we come to verse 33, and he says what seems to be the opposite, right? He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. And what the Lord's revealing to us here is that we in ourselves, by our nature, we all reject the testimony of God. But then we see the grace of God, which does reveal Christ. He does give a spiritual life whereby we do receive his testimony. So there's a spiritual seed, a remnant, that the Lord does reveal this to, so that we do receive his testimony and believe him that speaketh from heaven. And what does that mean? He hath set to his seal that God is true. In other words, we're testifying, Lord, in me dwelleth no good thing. That is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I have nothing to boast of before you, or to bring to you, to recommend myself to you, Lord, that you should receive me. But we're testifying that God has provided in his Son everything that I needed. I couldn't save myself. I couldn't provide for myself, but you've provided freely in your Son everything necessary for my life and salvation. And so we're testifying that God's done this. He's the Savior. He's God. He's Almighty, and he's the one who does this work. And so my righteousness is, it's his righteousness that's being revealed in me. And I'm justified by him. I'm even sanctified by him. It's all his power and his glory, and it's all freely given to us by Christ, who bears these fruits of righteousness, whereby we're made faithful unto him. Right? We bear those fruits of righteousness by his Spirit. All right? And so to believe on Christ, it honors God. It glorifies God. Right? We're saying, Lord, you're true. I'm not, but you are, and you've provided salvation. And therefore, to reject that word, to not believe, it's dishonoring to the Lord. Right? It's saying, Lord, you're a liar. I don't believe what you're saying. I think I'm decent. I think I'm good enough to save myself. I think I've got this. Maybe I just need a little bit of religion to help me, but I think I can be okay. And the Lord's showing us, no, you can't be okay with just a little bit of religion. You need a transformation. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need his righteousness, and only he keeps you and saves you from the condemnation which cometh upon the inhabitants of the earth. All right, so John 3:34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. All right, and so we hear life from the Lord Jesus Christ, and we speak according to Christ, and we glorify him, we exalt him, because he's the one who's working salvation in his people. All right, and so verse 35 now. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand, which means that if everything is in his hand, that I don't need to look anywhere else for salvation. He's got it all. Everything I need is in his hand, and he provides it as he will. And that is a humbling thing, right? To look to him for everything you need, to know that spiritually I can't provide for myself. I'm dependent upon the grace and the kindness of God, willing to be gracious and merciful and compassionate to me, though I've done nothing to earn any of that kindness at all. All right? Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And so it's clear why the Lord's wrath abides on those who do not believe on Christ. Because we're saying, God, you're a liar. I don't believe your testimony concerning your Son, and I refuse it. I reject it. I don't believe it. I've got this. If there is a God, I'm sure it'll work out. I'll negotiate with him, or whatever it is that men and women say to satisfy or quiet their conscience. But you know, there's no comfort for that person. So we, in looking to Christ, walking by his Spirit, confessing him, declaring him, exalting him, we decrease and he increases more and more. And you, you know, as you're looking to your brethren, you see Christ increasing more and more, even if we don't think ourselves to be anything, right? We're made humble. We're made to decrease, and he's exalted. And that's the voice. That really is the voice of the faithful servant coming through. Right? That's the voice of Christ speaking in you and revealing himself and his work of grace in you. Right? We stop boasting of self, and like John, we rejoice in him and exalt him before others. Right? And so I pray the Lord will bless that and comfort your hearts with it and make you to rejoice. And indeed, be a friend of the Lord, one who rejoices at the voice of Christ, one who rejoices to see Christ glorified in the eyes of others. Right? And so may he bless that word to your hearts. Amen.